Welcome, ברוכים הבאים. Very, very happy to see everyone to this Yom Iyun. Thank you to Meir Rosenfeld, to Rav Ziegert, to Rav Waxman. Thank you, I really want to take the opportunity. Rav Waxman is putting hours and hours and days planning the coming of the boys now. Meir Rosenfeld is taking care in the office in the United States for all the arrangements and all the things. Yeshiva is not in an easy situation, and then we're making a special charity. Thank you, Meir, for that. Thank you, Moshe Ehrenberg, for the welcome, and so on. We have a surprise. We didn't know that today. Today, Rav Osher Weiss told us that he would join us, and we are very happy for that. We will enter at 9 o'clock. Topic that we would like to speak about. I only will say very briefly, we finished a week ago the Zman of the Israelis, unbelievably, even if we were in three capsulot and every capsula couldn't take the other capsula. We
good had boy.
Rav Yamer, maybe we can ask everyone to please mute your microphones. If everyone could please mute your microphones.
You had a siyum of 31 boys that finished Masechet Beitza, Bebekirs, and they danced in the capsulot, and they wrote us letters of thank you, and it was really to see them, even with the hard conditions, how much they grow, how much they love Torah, was something unbelievable. We finished a few days before Tisha B'Av, and they said, no, we want to continue, we want to stay in Yeshiva. And it was really very, very special. And we hope that the same thing will be with the Americans that are coming and with Israelis that are coming. We have excellent two groups. We have more than 40 Israelis that will come. We have new boys. We have 60 American boys that are coming, new boys. And we only now finished a Zoom with the parents, waiting very much for them. With all the details, with all, they have to be in isolation and then in capsulot. Netzach Yisrael Yishakel. Doesn't make a difference. They will grow. They will learn. They will feel Shalabim for happy. They will feel Shalabim as a family. For hours and hours, we are planning now everything. And Bezrat Hashem, it will be unbelievable. I'm not going into details because of the time. But we have everything, spirituality, what they're going to learn this to which we're going to learn after that with the capsulot, how to do with the chavrutot. For hours we met as rabbis, and it's an opportunity to thank all the rabbanim for their tremendous love of the students, love of Torah that they spread, devotion, and so on. Topics that I would like to speak, I hope I will at least cover the main points till Rav Osher Weiss will come at 9 o'clock. The topics that are according to Israel time is not in Israel in the meantime, and we pray that it will never be. But I understand that it's now in France and Italy. I had a rabbi from France that spoke with me about it. The topic that I would like to speak about is what happened if come two people to the emergency room. There is only one bed in the Tipul Nimratz, someone can help me how to say it in English.
Intensive care.
There is only one respirator. And the question is, how do you choose? And I want to divide between four cases. Case number one, what happened when someone that is very, very sick, or because he have other illnesses, or because he's very old. But you know that even if you will give him a respirator, he won't live more than a year. And we'll count someone else. And the someone else that is coming is perfect. And if you will give him the respirator, he will live Bezrat Hashem regular life after that.
If we can please ask
Everyone, check your mics. Everybody, make sure you're on mute. We're having background noises, and we're not able to hear. Everyone, please check your mic. There are a couple of people that are not on mute. Please mute so that we can hear clearly. Thank you very much.
The last one, I don't know if you were in the beginning, but I said thank you very much for all your effort of planning that the boys will come and get the spirit of Shalavim and continue to grow. Todah Rabah for you, Todah Rabah for the Rabbanim, Todah Rabah for the Anhala, both in America, both in Israel. So the main question is, two people are coming to the emergency room. We have to choose only one that we are giving him a respirator. What happened there? And I want to divide between four cases. Case number one, come a man that even if we'll give him the respirator, won't live more than a year. And another man that if we will give him the respirator, he will live regular life later. Case number one. Case number two happened in Cape Town and in other places. Came only the one that is very sick, and even if you'll give him the respirator, he won't live more than a year, but it came only him. But you know, according to the statistic, that other people will come later on, in hour, in 3 hours, another day, that if you won't put him in the respirator and the respirator will be open, then later on you can connect the other man. But if you will connect this man, you can't stop, because then it will be murder. And then when the other man will come, already the machine will be occupied. Are you allowed not to put the first man in order that it will be open for the other one?
Excuse me again. Please, everyone, check your. Please, everyone, check your settings and put yourself on mute. Thank you.
That's the second question that I want to discuss. There was a Frum doctor in Johannesburg that he was told by the hospital, you don't connect people that don't live for a year, even if they come by themselves, because we want the machine to be free later on to people that if you will connect them, can live for more time. And he wrote a letter to Rabbi Yashiv, and he told Rabbi Yashiv, I feel that I'm a murderer. I'm in charge. I see that I can put him now in the machine, but the hospital told me not to do it. What to do? I want to share with you the answer that Rabbi Yashiv gave him. So the first case was when the Chayei Olam and Chayei Sha'a come together. The second case, only when the Chayei Sha'a comes. But we know that the Chayei Olam will come later on. Case number three, very interesting psak of Rav Moshe and Rav Osher Weiss, that, as I said, is surprised, told us today that he's going to come in a few minutes. He disagreed to Rav Moshe on that. What happened if already you started to treat the Chayei Sha'a, but you didn't connect him yet to the machine? But you started to treat him, you took him into the room, and suddenly came now Chayei Olam. Do you stop dealing with him, taking him out of the room and entering the Chayei Olam, or do you continue to deal with the Chayei Sha'a because you started with that? That would be number three. In question number four, maybe the hardest question, what will be the case when two Chayei Olam are coming? Two guys, young people, got the corona, both of them are 20 years old. I don't want to speak about the case when one is a Kohen and one is not a Kohen, because I am a Kohen, so I have Negiah Ishit. So I don't want to speak about that. But let's take another case. One is a Levi and one is Israel. So I can speak about that because I'm not a Levi and not Israel. So one is a Levi and one is Israel. According to the Mishnah in Horayot, you prefer the Levi. If we will have today in hospital, where we will say that we go according to the Levi, because the Mishnah in Horayot said that if you have two people drowning, and one is a Levi and one is Israel, you prefer the Levi? What will happen if one is Talmid Chacham and one is not a Talmid Chacham? Will you prefer the Talmid Chacham because the Mishnah in Horayot says that the Talmid Chacham is Kodem? That will be question number 4. We have to say Tehillim that we can finish these 4 questions in the short time that we have, but we don't have even time for the Tehillim, so we'll start immediately with the questions. The main source that I would like to share with you, and I asked to deliver the Mari Mekomos, the main source that I would like to speak about, and from here everything starts, is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ve'amar Lei Rav Chisda, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Kav Zayin, Amud Bet. Safek Chai, ספק מת, אין מתרפאים מהן, ודאי מת, מתרפאים מהן. I would like to explain this Gemara very, very thoroughly, because everything depends on this Gemara as a starting point. The Gemara says the following. In their time, in the time of the Gemara, and it's another thing that we have to thank Hashem that today we don't have it, if you went to a goy that wasn't a Jew, there was a big chance that he will kill you because he hates Jews. So you are sick, there is no Jewish doctor, and the question is if you can risk your life by going to him because there is a chance that he will kill you in purpose. He will kill you in purpose. Says the Gemara, if it's not clear that you will die if you don't go, it's not clear you will die if you won't go, you are not allowed to go. But if it's clear that you will die, if you don't go to a doctor, so you only can gain by going to him. Because if you won't go to him, it's clear that you will die. If you will go to him, there is a chance that he will kill you, and there is a chance that he won't kill you. And because of that, you are allowed to go to him. Ask the Gemara, but you are losing by going to him. Because if you won't go to him, it's clear that you will die, but you will die after a week, after 2 weeks, after 3 weeks. After a month, if you go to him, he will kill you immediately. So you are losing a month of your life. Why is it clear that you are allowed to go? Answer the Gemara. When there is a chance of Chayei Olam, we don't care about Chayei Sha'a. We allow you to risk a month of your life, if there is a chance that you will succeed and you will gain by the living of your life as a regular life. So even that we are making pikuach nefesh on chayei sha'a, but when we are waiving what is more important, chayei sha'a or chayei olam? Answer the Gemara, chayei olam are first. And for where the Gemara is learning it, from the 4 people that were Mitzurayim, they were starving for bread, and it was very, very clear that they are going to die if they won't eat, and they decided to go to the enemies and put their hands up, and go to the enemies and put themselves as shvuim, as captured. Now, there is a chance that the goyim will kill them immediately. And there is a chance that the goyim will say, okay, we take you as prisoners, and they will live. So from here that it was allowed for them to go, you are learning what, when there is chayei olam, in chayei sha'a, you are preferring chayei olam versus chayei sha'a. This Gemara has two clarifications. And both of them the poskim discuss. Clarification number one is what happens when there is operation, a very risky operation. When I was a rav, came to me a man with a letter from a doctor that if he won't take an operation, he would die in a year. And if he would take an operation, there is a big chance that he would die immediately in the operation room, but there is a chance that he will live. And the question is if this is allowed or not allowed. According to this Gemara, if he will die in a year, and it's a question of chayei olam versus chayei sha'a, it will be allowed. I had an uncle. I only spoke about him last Shabbat because last Shabbat was my Shabbat Bar Mitzvah 48 years ago. And he came specially from Haifa. He was the Abbot of Haifa. Harabau Chakover, he wrote 21 volumes on explanation of the Gaon Mivilna, the name of the book, Birkat Eliyahu. And he was sick. And the doctor said that he had to take operation that is very risky. But if he won't take operation, he can live for 2 years, not for a year. So it's not chayei sha'a versus chayei olam. It's chayei olam versus chayei olam. That's very different. Here, maybe you are not allowed to take a risky operation that is more than the regular risk. He didn't take it because of this Gemara, because then it's chayei olam to chayei olam. When it already was that he would die in a year, already he couldn't take the operation. So firstly, this Gemara is very much discussed about risky operations. But if we take this Gemara now about the corona, this Gemara will speak about a case when two people come. One, even if you give him the respirator, will live only for short time, less than a year. The other one will live for a lot more regular life. And according to this Gemara, you will choose the Chayei Olam and not the Chayei Sha'a. If there are questions, please ask me. There is a very interesting machloket between the Achiezer and Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that this is only in a case that there is at least 50% that the Chayei Olam will live if you give him the respirator. But if there is only 20% that he will live, then it's not called Chayei Olam. Chayei Olam is only when you have a 50% that he will live. According to the Achiezer, that's not the case. Even if the chance is very little, but still there is a chance that he can live for regular life and for all his life, it's called Chayei Olam, and it's before Chayei Sha'a. So if I'm finishing question number one, when two people come, one is Chayei Olam and one is Chayei Sha'a, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, if the Chayei Olam has at least 50% chance that if you will give him the respirator, he will live regular life, then you should take him. According to the, if not, it goes to question number four, when they are equal, we'll speak about it later. According to the Achiezer, even if the chance is little, but there is a chance that he will live regular life, you prefer the Chayei Sha'a, on the Chayei, that you prefer the Chayei Olam on the Chayei Star. Question number two. As I spoke before about Johannesburg, there the hospital decided that even if the Chayei Sha'ah come alone, but according to statistics, you know that later on the Chayei Olam will come, you don't put the Chayei Sha'ah because you want the machine to be free in order that you can connect the Chayei Olam later. The doctor wrote to Rav Eliashiv and said, I feel like a murderer. The man is coming and I'm not putting him on the machine. And Rav Eliashiv told him, please let me know the statistic. How often it's clear that the Chayei Olam will come soon. And they sent him the statistic of this hospital in Johannesburg. And he said, because the statistic shows that he will come, we see them as if they're already together. And because we see them as already being together, you should really not put him on the machine and wait to the Chayei Olam to come. Rav Vosner disagreed. And Rav Vosner, according to the Nodabi Yehuda, that says that Pikuach Nefesh is only if the sick man is in front of you. He says what will happen in an hour, in 2 hours, in 3 hours, is not called that he's in front of me. And because it's not called that he's in front of me, now in front of me is only the Chayei Sha'ah. So I have only to take care about him now. And therefore, according to Rav Vosner, you should connect the Chayei Sha'ah, according to the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Vandenberg, because, and Rav Eliashiv, because you know that they will come, according to statistic, you see them as being already there. So the machloket is if it's called that both are in front of you or not. Do we look in statistic as reality? According to Rav Eliashiv, yes. According to Rav Vosner, no. Therefore, according to Rav Vosner, only the Chayei Sha'ah is here. Therefore, I have only to connect the Chayei Sha'ah. According to Rav Eliashiv, according to the Tzitz Eliezer, because I know statistic that he will come in an hour in two, I have a definition that both are in front of me, and therefore I should take the Chayei Olam. I should not put the Chayei Sha'ah, wait to the Chayei Olam to come and connect him. If I'm summarizing the first two questions, question number one, when two people are coming, both are Chayei, one is Chayei Olam and one is Chayei Sha'ah. You prefer the Chayei Olam. According to the Achiezer, always. And according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it is listed there is 50% that the Chayei Olam, if you will give him the machine, will live. According to the second question, when the Chayei Sha'ah come only, according to Rav Eliashiv and the Tzitz Eliezer, because statistically you know that the other man will come, you see them as both here, therefore, you won't put the Chayei Sha'ah and you will leave the machine open for the Chayei Olam. And Rav Eliashiv says, don't feel that you're a murderer. Oppositely, if you will connect the Chayei Sha'ah now, you will be a murderer to the Chayei Olam that will come in an hour. According to Rav Vosner, we only go according to what we see now. That's what is called Chole Lefanecha, only what we see now. Because now we have only the Chayei, because we have only the Chayei Sha'ah, we should connect only him. That's the answer to the first two questions. We will wait to Rav Osher Weiss to join us, and we will, after that, very briefly, I will answer about the two questions, and then we will continue to the other Rabbanim, Bezrat Hashem.
No, I'm a niggin meanwhile.
Oy na chamo na chamo ami ya ba ba yama redoike.
And they're singing now.
Oy na chamo na chamo ami ya yama redoike.
Yeshakolach, I think Rav Osher Weiss is with us. Nachona Rav Yami. Rav Yamrat. Rav Yamrat, I'm on mute. Yes, you can sit on mute.
Thank you. I saw Moshe joining us, Moshe Orenbuch, the president of Shalavim in the States. And I really want to take that opportunity to thank him tremendously for the hard work that he's doing and helping Yeshiva always and especially in this challenging time. The same thing to Jake Weichold, the chairman of the Yeshiva, and to Mary Rosenfeld and to everyone. Harav Noah, bakasha.
Ani shomea she Harav Osher Weiss itanu, aber yechol liot she tzichim lasot on mute. I see, is BMG for medical halacha? Shemofia Khan.
Hey, it's Yossi Sprung. The rub is not on yet.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Rav Yossi, this is Mayor Rosenfeld, Executive Director. Thank you so much for helping make Rav Osher available for this important limud.
My pleasure, and it's really important. It's tough for everybody.
So maybe we'll go back to Rav Noam.
Sram me, it's the words of Yeshayahu Anavi. Oidabu alev Yerushalayim, oidiki yehulu eileh. Sing with me wherever you are. Oidabu alev Yerushalayim, oidiki yehulu eileh.
אולי ראש הישיבה רוצה להמשיך בינתיים עד שרב אשר עולה, מה שראש הישיבה חושב?
בסדר גמור. The first question is a very, very interesting question. The case was that one of the students of Rav Moshe that knew the psak that Rav Moshe took from this Gemara in Avodah Zarah that says that you prefer the Chayei Olam, had a very, very interesting case in his hospital. Came Chayei Sha'a, and it wasn't like in Johannesburg that they said not to connect the Chayei Sha'a. He started to deal with the Chayei Sha'a, but he didn't yet connect him to the machine. Imamish was planning to connect him. And while that happened, the red phone called and they told him that the emergency room came someone that will be Chayei Olam. And he had a dilemma to open the doors, take this bed away, and to put the other man, the Chayei Olam, or to continue to treat with the Chayei Sha'a. On the spot, he checked with Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe told him to continue with the Chayei Sha'a. In the end of the evening, he didn't go home. Instead of that, he went to Rav Moshe, and he said, I don't understand. You told us from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that you always prefer Chayei Olam. Why here You told me the opposite. And Rav Moshe told him an amazing answer that I want to share with you. He said two things. Number one, here, I see that Rav Asher Weiss, the Gaon Asher Weiss, is joining us, so we will speak about it later. I really want to take that opportunity and tremendously, tremendously, tremendously thank the Gaon Rav Asher Weiss for joining us for this special Yom Yun with the Bogrei HaYeshiva and the parents of the yeshiva. Rav Asher Weiss is very connected to the yeshiva. A lot of times we had the zchut to hear Torah from him in yeshiva, face to face, before the corona, panim befanim, like we have in our parsha. And every one of the Talmidim got unbelievably from hearing Rav Asher Weiss. There was a time that the Americans went to his Beit Midrash and heard there. In the siyum of the year, in the end of this year, after the boys were learning for 6 hours in the Zoom, we asked Rav Asher Weiss and he gave a chizuk to all the Talmidim before they went to Ben Ozmanim. Here in yeshiva, in the last few months, I am giving shiurim on the corona, and we are using the shoot of Rav Asher Weiss that is very detailed, with thousands of psakim that he got from the whole world, discussing the corona, discussing questions, are you allowed to put yourself into danger in order to recover the people? The question that we are dealing today with the respirator, the psak of Rav Moshe, what happened when you start to deal with someone, and other cases, and we are learning all the Torah from Asher Weiss. And therefore, it's a very, very big zchut. We had a big surprise. We only heard today that Rav Asher Weiss have the zman, and we are thanking him tremendously for joining us. Toda Rabba. And we all want to hear the Torah and the Gadlut Torah from the Gaon Harav Asher Weiss. Bevakasha.
It is a privilege and a pleasure for me as well. I am happy to see my dear friend the Rosh Yeshiva, Harav Gaon Harav Yamer, and I carry very fond memories from every time I visited the yeshiva. I think it's been a while since I was physically in the yeshiva, and I hope to be in the near future, but I do carry very fond memories of every time I visited the yeshiva. So it's a simcha for me to be with you in a way. And we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the opportunity of harnessing modern technology to disseminate Torah. I just want to share a word with you, the beginning of Masechet Avodah Zarah. Chazal say that Liyosed Lavoi, at the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would judge the many nations. First, he would judge the Romans. And the Romans will say, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, have mercy on us. Baninu Klochim V'Shvokim V'Kshorim Kol Masha Asinu, everything we did, Lo asinu ela bishvil Yisrael. We built the Colosseum in Rome. We built amphitheaters in the entire world. Whatever we built for Israel. And HaKadosh Baruch will say, Shoytem shvi Yolam. Kol ma sha'asisem letzorech atzmachem asitem. You did nothing for Israel. You did it for yourself. And I wonder, at the end of days, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Malchus would be obvious, how would they dare to lie in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's face? Is it possible they will have the chutzpah? Being judged by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Melech HaMishpot, to lie? And why does a Kodesh Baruch Hu respond by saying, Shoytim Shebi Yolam? Are there merely Shoytim? And why doesn't the Kodesh Baruch Hu say, Shakronim Shikem Oysen? So my feeling is this, at the end of days, all those huge structures, buildings, monuments, the Colosseum in Rome, and the many amphitheaters, they will all turn into yeshivas because Chias HaMeisim would bring back millions of Talmidei Chachamim and Gedolei Yisrael. all Jews will be chayzer b'tshuva. So every empty space, every sports stadium, every everything will be transformed into a yeshiva. So the Romans will say, at the end of the day, kol ma she'asinu b'shvil Yisrael asinu. So why are we to be punished? And a kodesh will say, shaitim shaviyaylam. That is of my doing. That was not your intention. You built the Colosseum to torture the people. You built the Colosseum to torture and to kill Asura Haruge Malchus. You deserve no reward by a Kodesh Bohu's decision that everything ultimately will serve a noble purpose, Bishvili soil. So the people that developed the internet, no, they had no intention to enhance Arbotzes Torah and Talmud Torah. But we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the possibilities we have to take advantage of modern technology, to bring people together, to bring our Talmidim together, and to utilize any means we have at our disposal to enhance Arbotzes Torah. So it's a schus for me, and I thank my dear friend, the Rosh Hashiva, for giving me this opportunity once again to come together with Yeshivat Shalavim, with its alumni, with its Talmidim, with the parents of Talmidim, and the wonderful group of friends of the great Yeshiva in Shalavim. The topic we will be discussing today is last week's parsha. Preventing, avoiding sakon. And this topic is associated with the coronavirus, with COVID-19, but not only. There's another reason I choose to speak about this topic, because we're just in the beginning of Bein HaZmanim. And to my terrible dismay, every year we're losing youngsters in Bein HaZmanim. In Israel, I think in America as well. I hope less. Just this Friday, one day after Tisha B'Av, Yeshiva boy was critically injured in a Jeep accident. Not a collision. He was driving a Jeep and it overturned, and he was critically injured. Why would a Yeshiva boy drive a Jeep if he's not licensed to drive a Jeep? Four-wheel drive in Midbar Yehuda, on the rocks, on the mountains. I think we do not do enough to explain to our children that life is more precious than having fun, that life is more precious than anything else. It should be part of our curriculum. So every year in Israel, we have young boys drowning in the Kinneret, in the Jordan, in the sea. Our children should understand that you never put your foot into the ocean or into the Kinneret or anywhere where there is no life around. You don't go into a boat without a life jacket, a life vest. These are fundamentals everyone should understand. To our dismay, not everyone understands it, and I think we're not doing enough in yeshivas to explain, to educate, to teach, and to instill in the minds and hearts of our children that the greatest mitzvah in the Torah is v'nishmarta l'moed l'nafshecha sechel. Yishom alecha, v'shmor nafshecha l'moed. So I prefer to giving this shiur at the beginning of Bein HaZmanim, hopefully, mi yitein. If I will save one life by giving the Siri, he says, sorry. I saved a life. I saved a world. It is our Chachamim that teach us. Kol ha-makayim nefeshachas mi-yisor kilu kiyem oyle mole. Kol ha-ma'abed nefeshachas mi-yisor kilu ibed olam. So let's embark on our journey. Two psukim in last week's parsha. V'nishmartem oyle nefeshachem. Just six psukim apart. And these two psukim obviously are the source of the Chiyuv Shemiras HaGuf VeHaNefesh. And we find many sugyas in Shas from which we learn that yes, actively and passively, kumbasei and sheva altais. On one hand, we have the mitzvah of Asiyas HaMaikah. It's not enough. Stay away from the roof. Be careful. No. You need to build a fence. You need to build a Maikah that will heal the kumbasei to prevent sakon. And it's also sheva altais. Lo yamid odoin b'mokam sakon. And we find in Shabbos Daf Lamed Beis, Amud Aleph, and in many other sources in Shas, it's in Masechet Tanis as well, and other sources. A person should not stand under a wall that seems to be falling down. So could you visit the Tower of Pisa in Italy? Well, it's crooked, but it's been crooked for 400 years. So do you need to be chayshish, it's going to fall on your head? I say you could visit the tower, but go to the other side. Not side where it's leaning and it fall on you. If it falls, let it fall to the other side. So lo yamed odem b'mokam sakona lo yamed yasolaynes, shemo lo yasolaynes. You might be a great tzaddik, but you cannot rely on this main son from alanes. V'im yasolaynes menachom amizuk v'yoysor. That is only one of the many sources we find in Shas. And these halachas are found in two different simonim in Shulchan Aruch. Yoredei Akuf Tezayin, primarily dealing with the Gilui. Chazal prohibited drinking water that was left without supervision. May a venomous snake grab some venom into that water. Tosis and most of the Rishonim say, so we don't have any sort of gilui, but in Yoredei Akuf Tezayin, there is a compilation of various different halachas associated with sakana and choshem mishpatov kovzai. So let me share with our talmidim just an interesting phenomenon most people aren't aware of. There are two simonim in Shulchan Aruch, which the Bais Yosef added on to the Torah. Simonim we do not find in Torah, but we do find in Shulchan Aruch. So Dalet Chelke Shulchan Aruch contains two simonim more than Arba HaTurim. Chayshe Mishpat in the Torah ends Simon Tov Kovav. In Chayshe Mishpat in Shulchan Aruch, we find Tov Kov Zayin. Look for it in Torah, you won't find it. It's not there. So the last simon in the Torah in Chayshe Mishpat is based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Menayin leroyes chaveroi, shutoveya benor, o chayes roes velistin bo amola, shumetsuva lahatziloi, shenema loy samad al gam reyacho. If your friend is drowning and you know how to swim, you don't only know how to swim, you're a certified lifeguard, you know how to save a person from drowning, then you are obliged, you have a chiyuv to do so. Or if you see him being attacked by a bear or a wolf. If you think you could take care of the bear, you mechuyev to do so. I once heard a joke about it, where two people were running away from a bear. And Reuven asked him, do you think we could outrun the bear? And Simon says, no way, I'm just trying to outrun you. So, if you could save a person that's being attacked by a wild animal, you're mechuyev to do so. Or he's being attacked by a person. That's the very last simon in Tur. And the Shulchan Aruch comes along the Bishayism and adds on another simon, logically. So the Tur brings the very last simon of Chayshim Mishpat, that you're mechuyev to save another person from danger. Wouldn't it be reasonable to add on the halachas you're mechuyev to save yourself from danger as well? My chos is the domed edach sumikvei midomed midei. We could say the same argument the other way around. My chos is a domed edei sumikvei midomed edach. So the tour, the very last simon of the tour on Chayshim Mishpat is loy samad al gam reyecho, comes along the Bais Yosef and he says, so why wouldn't we add on another simon, just stressing the chiyuv not only saving your friend from danger, you need to prevent danger to yourself as well, to others and to yourself. And that is Siman Tov of Zion. What's the other Siman that the Bishyos have added on? That's more complicated. And that's an interesting phenomenon. Yoredei Siman Reish Tzadik Zion. If you open up a tour, yes, we have Reish Tzadik Zion Yoredei and tour. But in Shulchan Aruch, we have two Reish Tzadik Zions. Isn't that strange? Reish Tzadik Zion Aleph and Reish Tzadik Zion Beis. Nowhere else do we find two simonim with the same number. What happened? So in the two Reish Tzadik above includes Kilei HaKerem and Kilei HaZeroim. And then Reish Tzadik Ches is Kilei Behemo. The Beis Yosef reasoned too many halachas in one siman. Why would we put together Kilei Zeroim and Kilei HaKerem? They have different halachas. So what should the Beis Yosef do? Push it off? No, that'll be complicated. That'll mean that 107 simonim in the Shulchan Aruch would be different than in the Torah. From Reish Tzadik Zayin to Tov Gimel, that's 107 simonim. That would be a very bad idea. People will be looking at Shulchan Aruch and looking for the source in Beis Yosef and in Torah, and they wouldn't find it. So the Beis Yosef had another spark of genius, and he said, I'm going to split Reish Tzadik Zayin in two. So Reish Tzadik Zayin number one is Kilei Zeroim, Reish Tzadik Zayin number two is Kilei Behemo. So in the tour, Reish Tzadik Vav is Kilei Zeroim and Kilei HaKerem, Reish Tzadik Zayin is Kilei Behemo. So the Beis Yosef didn't want to add on another simon because that would mean messing up the numbers from 107 simonim. So different spark of genius. Reish Tzadik Zayin Aleph and Reish Tzadik Zayin Beis. So those are the only two simonim in the entirety of Shulchan Aruch in which we find an additional simon Shulchan Aruch that is not to be found in the Torah. But let's come back to our circuit. So the dinim of Menias HaSakana, preventing Sakana and danger, is in Yoredei Kuf Tzayin and Choshen Mishpatov Kuf Tzayin. What is the source in the Torah?
I know.
The two psukim I mentioned in the beginning of today's shiur. Both psukim are in Parshas Ve'ezchanan that we read this Shabbos. V'nishmar temor de nafsho seichem in one hand, the Shom Alachol. U'shmar nafshachom ma'ay. And that is a story told in Brachas Lamed Beis on Beis. Ma'asa v'chos adecha, shom yuwayim et bitfilah. And a non-Jewish sar passes nearby. V'nosem le'sholim. And that non-Jewish minister, that non-Jewish high-ranking official patiently waits till the chassid finishes his davening. And then he asks him, "B'toyros foksi v'shom alacho v'shmoy na'ashacho ma'oi kishet maitati lacho shom lo'ezamato l'shom." I reached out to you. I asked you, how do you do? And you did not respond. That's against your own mitzvah. Your Torah says, Shom Alecho. Ilo ho'yisi matez es roishbo v'sayef. Would anybody demand your blood? No one. No one. You call me to judge me. So how do you dare not to respond when I turn to you? And the chassid says, Hamkani, just wait a moment, I'll try to explain. If you would stand, you would have an audience with the king. And another person would turn to you and say, how do you do? Would you respond to it? So the Goyish official says, no, Chas v'Shalom. When you have an audience with the king, you do not respond to any other mortal. So the chassid explains, well, I was talking to the King of Kings, to Melech Malchem Lofa, how do you expect me to respond to a mortal, to a person as important as he may be. So the story had a happy end. And the non-Jewish minister or official or whoever he was said, okay, you convinced me. And he went on his way. The Marsha on the spot says that that non-Jewish person obviously was familiar with the Hebrew Bible, but he was an Amoritz. Because when you read the context of these two psukim, the context is spirituality. It is about not forgetting you should never forget Yetzias Mitzrayim and the miracles that you experienced. Keep away from Avodah Zorah. Keep away from statues, from psulim. So both of these psukim deal with spiritual danger. Lest you forget the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and lest you forget the miracles that you experienced. It was that non-Jew that had a mistaken interpretation thinking that this pasuk refers to physical danger. What should I say? B'machila mikvoy teroso, adoyneinu hamarsho, ofer aritachas kapes raglav. But I find myself apologizing all my life. The Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, Melchus, Lekseach, Ushmira, Sanepa, Shalach, Adalel, quotes this pasuk as the source of Manias HaSakon. And it's not only the Rambam, it's the Choshen Mishpot as well. Tov Chov Zayin, the very last Siman of Choshen Mishpot, Siv Ches, Shulchan Aruch, following the footsteps of the Rambam, and both quote this pasuk as primary source of Shmiras HaGuf VaHaNefesh. The chiyuv to prevent danger, the prohibition to put your life in jeopardy. Its source is Shomer HaChodesh Moed Ashkenaz Yushvar Kekoy LeNafshi Sechem. It's in Sefer HaMitzvos LaRambam as well. So, from the philosophical side, let me explain. It's true that this pasuk was quoted by a non-Jew. But it's not that non-Jew is the source. It is Talmud Bavli and Brochas Lamed Beis Amid Beis. I think we could imagine that the conversation was a bit longer than what is described and told in Brochas Lamed Beis. I would imagine maybe that non-Jewish minister asked him, how's your family? How's your wife and children? Are they doing okay? Nobody has corona, probably. You know, some other words were said as well. But Chazal do not need to tell us everything that was in that conversation. Chazal never give us a comprehensive and detailed description of anything. So just a few days ago, Tisha B'Av, we learned the Sugya of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Is that the story of Korban on Vines? No. Not at all. Thousands of books were written about the Holocaust. Probably hundreds of thousands of pages, if not more. Describing the Churban from beginning to end.
Is this Bob here? You want me to go to a different place? No, it's
fine. I think everybody should mute because we're hearing different voices. Would you ask everyone to mute? Describing the Churban, we would need a shas of 20 volumes. But Chazal only relate some stories, and each line, each word, comes to convey an eternal message. Medeiros Olam. So if Chazal quote that non-Jewish official saying, "B'toras v'ksiv, ishom l'chosh moy nafshu moy," that's Chazal. It's not the Goy. The Goy probably said many different things which Chazal don't tell us about. That's the Gemara. And therefore, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch quote this pasuk as the source of Shmiras HaGuf VaHaNefesh. So let us try to understand what transpired between the Chassid and the Tzar. And the big question is, how did the chosin dare not to respond? Obviously, he put his life in jeopardy. So the Taz and the Magen Avraham offer two different explanations, two different sources. The Taz in the Samach Vav Sifkot Nalach and the Magen Avraham Simakul Dalet Sifkot Nalach. But the Taz and the Magen Avraham have two different suggestions. The Taz says, how come the Chosa told them, Hamtin li al she'afayescho? Give me a few minutes to explain. Why did he think you would get a few minutes to explain? So the Taz suggests this chassid wasn't an entire batlin, and he knew that by law, this minister can't just kill him. You need to give him an opportunity to explain. Maybe he's not guilty at all. So the chassid understood that this minister can't just take out a sword and cut him up and kill him. That's against the law. He must be given the opportunity to try to explain his point of view. And therefore, he wasn't really in Sakona. I think it's somewhat unreasonable. Going back 2,000 years, really? So when the Tzar says, Ilo ho'yisi matiz eskosh ho'besayev, nobody would demand an explanation from me. Was that a lie? Probably it was true. If a non-Jewish high-ranking official would kill a Jew 2,000 years ago, no, I don't think he would be in trouble. So I don't think that's reasonable. That is why the chassid wasn't afraid. I would be afraid. And I think he should have been afraid as well. So Magen Avraham has a different suggestion. And the Magen Avraham says, the chassid was so convinced that his explanation is so convincing, he was sure that he'll explain to this Tsar, and the Tsar will say, you're right. I think that is also somewhat unreasonable. And what made him so confident that he'll be given an opportunity to explain? And if that Tsar would be a nastier person, and he would be annoyed, he would just take out a sword and cut his head off. That's exactly what he says. You know, you see, Matas is Roshko Besayev, Afechot lo yoyu, Dodesh Dimcho. So I find both the Magen Avraham and Taz a bit, unlike. Ibididi Talia, I would say, the Chosid was so engrossed in his tefillah, he didn't even hear me. He wasn't aware that someone spoke to him. I think that's very reasonable. You know, there's a Yerushalmi, the end of Tainus. In Bavli, the story of Chorma Bais is in Gittin Daf Nun Vav. In Yerushalmi, it's Tanis Chav Dal. And there's a lengthy description about Ben Kuziba, who was Bar Kochba. So there's an anecdote told in Yerushalmi that a Kuti went over to Rabbi Loza Hamidoi when he was in the middle of davening and whispered into his ear. And Ben Kuziba was told that he told him a secret message from the Romans. And he interrogates Rabbi Loza Hamidoi. And Ben Kuziba asks the great Tana, what did that Kuti tell you? And Rabbi Loza Hamidoi says, I don't know whom you're talking about. He never told me anything. I never spoke to him a word. And Rabbi Loza Hamidoi wasn't lying. It was the middle of davening. And the Kuti knew that he wouldn't realize that he's talking to him. So I think it would be more reasonable to say that the Chosid wasn't even aware that somebody had turned to him. And even if he did hear somebody say, how do you do? He didn't look out of the sitter. Ishmanes, you're not supposed to look out. So he thought that's maybe one of his neighbors or maybe just a nobody. Why was he supposed to think that may be a very important minister, a government official? He heard somebody say, how do you do? You know, how's your day? So he didn't respond. I think that would be far more reasonable. But anyway, this Gemara is the source. Yishra malacho ushmaya nafshecho ma'oi. So the chassid wasn't at all aware that his life is in danger. And then he asked Yatav Ishmael, B'tzayis Hashem darki yish gamoi b'vyash le'mimoi. But his book gave him chayim. And the story had a happy end. And that's the reward for Sifus Hamas Yusnevich. So let's speak a bit about the level of Sakana that is prohibited. So I know it's been a man and it's vacation time. And many people want to have some fun. And it's legitimate. Some of the activities we do during vacation time involve a certain level of Sakana. Goes without saying. So you get into a speedboat on the river, or, you know, you go paragliding. When I was young, I dreamed that someday I would do it as well. With time, you realize that some of your dreams will never be fulfilled. I'm trying to fulfill most of the important dreams I always had, and I'm aware that I will need to let go of some of the lesser dreams, the less important ones. So obviously, in this Gilgal, I won't go paragliding. I won't go bungee jumping. I won't jump out of planes, off cliffs. Many things I obviously won't do. I won't even go skiing, probably. But many of us enjoy different activities, and some of them involve a certain level of sakana. Is that a issue? I don't think so. So when I was a kid, all we had were bicycles and roller skates. Your children don't know what roller skates are. Probably in the museums, you could see some of them. So after the bikes and the roller skates, the bikes developed into scooters, electrical scooters. The roller skates morphed into roller blades and into hoverboards. And maybe some things I'm not even familiar with. And all of the above mentioned aren't as safe as just walking with your feet. Neither are they as healthy as walking with your feet. So, but nevertheless, we buy for our kids bikes and scooters and hoverboards. Would that be an issue? I don't think so. It's more dangerous than walking, but the danger is still remote. If you have proper equipment and you're not reckless and irresponsible, you follow the rules, it's not a great danger. So the Noi de Yehuda, a very well-known tshuva, Reishud Yoradei Chelik Beis, as a tshuva about a person that asks, is it legitimate to go hunting? People enjoy hunting animals. I don't know why. It's achzoyus. But you know, it's a changing world. There was an American president whose name was Teddy Roosevelt. And he was very proud of his hunting skills. He spent 6 months in Africa on the taxpayer's cheshbon, and came back with an entire ship of animals he killed in Africa. Today, he would be impeached, both houses of Congress, not one. He would be impeached. So it's a changing world, changing norms, changing ethical values. But the Noi de Yehuda has a tshuva about hunting. And he deals with the various different questions involved. Tzar Balachayim, Tzorech HaAdam, permissible, putting your life in danger. I think the Noi de Yehuda wasn't very, very familiar with what the person means to ask. So the Noi de Yehuda writes, if you hunt kosher animals and you eat them, so even if you're putting yourself in danger, but it's Letzorech Parnasa. So Letzorech Parnasa, you're allowed to put yourself in danger. I don't know what kosher animals. The guy is hunting cows, sheep. You don't hunt cows and sheep. You don't hunt chickens. You only hunt non-kosher animals. So I don't know, he wasn't very familiar about what the person had in mind.
Not very aware.
So anyway, So the Noidi Ruda writes, for Parnasa, you could put your life in danger and accuse that from two Gemaras and Bava Metzia, Tzadik Beis and Kuf Yud Beis. Kisoichal Anovim, Kinafshecho, Dovisho the Moise Nafshe Yolov. And it's Achilas Poyalim, Oile Bekedesh, Mafras Liyam. The Gemara says, Shabbos in Bava Metzia Kuf Yud Beis, Dovisho the Moise Nafshe Yolov. So you put your life in danger. Fishermen put their life in danger. Sometimes they go out to stormy seas to bring in their nets, bring in their wool. You climb trees to pluck the fruit. That's putting your life in danger. So Noidi Ruda proves, for Panos, you could put your life in danger. In my opinion, in my humble opinion, there is no din misuyim that Panos is doicha pikuach. There cannot be such a din. If some parnosas involve sekona, they look for a different parnosa. Why would parnosa be doicha pikuach nefesh? Doesn't make sense. Okay, so a fisherman puts his life in danger. So who says if a Jew is allowed to put his life in danger? Let others haul in the fish. I think when we're dealing with what is in modern language defined as a calculated risk, it's not a prohibition. Yes. So bringing in the nets in the middle of the winter is more dangerous than taking a walk on the waterfront. Climbing a tree is more dangerous than sitting in Beis Medrash, but it's a calculated risk. If you take the proper precautions, if you're careful, if you follow the rules, it doesn't necessarily need to be a great danger. So are our kids allowed to have fun with rollerblades and hoverboards? I think so. We just need to teach them, follow the rules, don't be reckless, take care, take all the precautions, never get on a bike without a helmet, Chas v'Shalom, if you fall, to protect your head. So we are allowed to take a certain level of risk. Driving a motorcycle, statistically, is far more dangerous than sitting in a car. Goes without saying. Motorcycles don't have the stability of a four-wheel vehicle. They go faster, and you have less protection. So statistically, you're in a greater danger. Would it be an issur to drive a motorcycle? I don't think so. If you're not reckless, if you're not meshugah, then it's a level of danger which you could take upon yourself. Don't get on a Harley Davidson. Get on the Japanese ones. They don't make as much noise and they're not as awful. So what I mean to say is a certain level of danger is muta lefi halacha, not only for panasa, like the Noidi Ruda argues, even for quality of life. So I am aware that Bein Hazmanim, we do some activities that might be more dangerous than sitting in the Beis Medrash and learning Torah. I can't say it's also, but we need to be mechanech our children, follow the rules, and take all necessary precautions. Just like the examples I gave, never go into water without a lifeguard. Never get on a boat without a life jacket. And all the other necessary rules, don't go too close to cliffs. So every year we have boys that are dehydrated in Midbar Yehuda, in the desert. Never go out in the desert without a cell phone that has enough battery and with enough water. We should just teach our children what are the necessary precautions to prevent sakon. What is the level of sakona? Could we define the level of sakona? And I want to make a point, which I made many times during the outbreak of this pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic. And I made this argument a few years ago when I gave shiurim about vaccinating our children. Because I think those who do not vaccinate children, that's an awful mistake. And I have tremendous respect to every good who be a soil. And this is nothing personal. I just am mechuyev to give my opinion. So what is the level of sakana that is legitimate? There's an obvious steer in Mogen Avraham. Shin Tet Zayin, Sifkot Mechav Gimel on Hilchos Shabbos. The Magen Avraham deals with the question, is it mutter to kill a spider on Shabbos? Is killing a spider defined as pikuach nefesh? For some reason, Noshim Sitkoniyos are very afraid of spiders. Don't know why. But Noshim Sitkoniyos and some Noshim Tzadikim as well are very afraid of spiders. So there are some awful spiders, but they're very, very rare. There's a tiny little black widow spider that's dangerous, but it's extremely rare. A malaria-carrying mosquito is a bigger danger than a black widow spider. There are some huge tarantulas. When you see one of those, yeah, run away. But you're not going to see them very often. So the Magen Avraham says, killing a spider is not permissible because the sakana is 1 in 1,000. What would the sakana be? The spider might creep up the wall, crawl onto the roof, fall into your soup, and you won't notice the spider and you'll swallow it. If you swallow a living spider, that would be a sakana. But that is a chance 1 in 1,000, and therefore it's not defined as pikuach nefesh. Let us take note. 1 in 1,000 is not defined as pikuach nefesh. Okay. So how do we understand the other Magen Avraham in Shin Lamed Sif Koton Gimel? In Shin Lamed, maybe some of you remember what is Shin Lamed in Shulchan Aruch HaLechaim Hilchos Shabbos. That is the dinim of Yoledes. So Yoledes is a Chodesh Yesh B'Sekon. And we're Mechal HaShabbos to tend to all her needs. Whatever she asks for is Pikuach Nefesh. But you need to make a Shinui. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Magen Mishnah. Famous Magen Mishnah, Perek Beis Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Yud Aleph. The Magen Mishnah says, why by Yoledes do we need to make a shini? According to the Rambam, Chodesh Yesh B'Sekona, a shini is not necessary. So why by Yoledes is a shinui? Yes, necessary. The Magen Mishnah says, because a Yoledes is part of nature. It's a natural process. Ve'isho achas ma'elef eino meisa, 1 out of 1,000 doesn't die. That's an amazing statistic. I think it's questionable. Going back 900 years, 1 out of 1,000 didn't die. I don't know. I think the information we have, mortality of Yoledes during childbirth probably was more than 1 in 1,000. But nevertheless, the Magen Mishnah writes, 1 out of 1,000 doesn't perish. And therefore, Chachamim necessitated a shinui. And the Magen Avraham quotes the Magen Mishnah. So let the Magen Avraham decide. Is 1 out of 1,000 yes, pikuach nefesh, or it's not pikuach nefesh? Shin Tesai, and he says, not allowed to kill a spider because this gun is 1 out of 1,000. That's not pikuach nefesh. So why is the Yoledes pikuach nefesh? And we're machal Shabbos to say the Yoledes. To me, the answer is very simple and very fundamental. And it's a chiddush in Allah. It depends whether we're dealing with coincidence or with nature. So you see a spider on the floor. What is the sakana? Oh, we might creep up the wall, get onto the roof, and suddenly, exactly when he's on top of your plate, he'll lose his footing and he'll fall into your plate, and you won't realize, and you'll swallow him up, and that might be a sakana. Well, if it's 1 in 1,000, probably will never happen. And it even happens, coincidence. But childbirth is a natural process. It happens all the time. So let us try to imagine. Baruch Hashem, I have the sister servant, Shalit Tzedek. I'm the person of Shalit Tzedek, but I'm associated with the Bonim in many other hospitals in the world. Shalit Tzedek has more babies born than any other hospital in the Middle East, Baruch Hashem. So let us try to imagine that we have 1,000 laid out every day. We're very far from that number. So let us try to imagine that 1,000 babies are born in Shalit Tzedek every day. And every day there's one mortality. one baby dies. And comes Shabbos. So would we be Machal Shabbos to take every precaution to prevent that death? Or would we say, what are you getting excited? 999 mothers went happily home with their babies. It's only 1 out of 1,000. That would be an outrageous argument. The only relevant number is the one. The 999 is a totally irrelevant number. Why would that make a difference? Why would it make a difference how many babies didn't die? The only number that makes a difference is the one. And we will do everything necessary to save the life of that one baby. It's not like seeing a spider on the wall or on the floor. Children are born all the time. It's nature, Baruch Hashem. It's not a shinui. Children are born, and we need to do everything to prevent that one mother that'll die during childbirth, whether it's the baby or it's the mother. The Magen Mishnah and the Mother of Avon deal with the mother, not with the baby. So it is imperative, and we need to do everything, including Chilul Shabbos, to prevent the death of that one. And the other 999 are irrelevant. And I say the same regarding vaccination. The same. So some rabbonim wrote tshuvas. What are the statistics? How many babies with mumps will die? So for your information, many, many will die. But the statistics aren't relevant. We need to vaccinate our children to prevent the ones whose life will be in danger. And the same goes for COVID-19, for Corona. So in some circles in the Haredi world, and in the non-Jewish world as well, I'm not speaking against Haredi, but in every sector of society, there are the crazy ones. So some argue, well, 99% of COVID patients have mild symptoms, which Baruch Hashem is true. But the 1% is a lot. So in Israel, we lost up today more than 500 people. Just this Shabbos, 6 people from the Haredi community passed away. One was 93, but one was 70, and one was 40. Mm. And people are dying all the time. And many of the people that don't die will carry scars for the rest of their lives. I spoke with a 30-year-old lady today. She had COVID 2.5 months ago. She tested negative 2 months ago, but she still has difficulty breathing. And the doctors don't have much to say. They hope it'll go away. 2 months since she tested negative, 30-year-old, and she has pulmonary issues. She has difficulty breathing. And those are hundreds, if not thousands. So therefore, yes, I say once again and again and again, we need to take every precaution. So Baruch Hashem, I think most of the people listening to the shiur are in America. Is that true? Yes? So I hear that on the East Coast, Baruch Hashem, things are very good. And in Israel, we are in the midst of a huge second wave. We have thousands of new cases every day, and people are dying every day. And in many other places in North America, it's the same. So I say we need to take every precaution and follow the rules. We need to follow the rules. So we discussed the fundamentals of Pikuach Nefesh, the source of Shmiras HaGuf HaNefesh, and some different definitions of different shyness and different Yesodos in Pikuach Nefesh. But let us go back to the Marsho, because the Marsho's argument is equally important. So the Marsho says, these psukim do not refer at all to preventing sakana. It's all about spiritual sakana. And maybe this is also irrelevant to Bein Hazmanim. So this summer, actually starting Purim time. Was the most difficult Zman we ever had. Most of yeshivas were closed. There are thousands of young Bnei Torah in America waiting to come back to where it's going. Waiting to come back to many yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, thousands, who are not in yeshivas right now. And in Israel, yeshivas open, yeshivas close, with capsules, without capsules. The yeshiva world is in a terrible crisis. And I say, when we close shuls, it's not a tragedy. It's profoundly sad. When I closed the shul in Shari Tzedek many months ago, before the government required closing shuls, I think the first shul in Eretz Yisrael to close was the shul in Shari Tzedek, because medical staff were being infected, and I was afraid that patients would be infected. So I closed the shul. The general manager of Shari Tzedek Hospital, an outstanding person, a great doctor and a great human being, Professor Ofer Marim, called me and he told me a moving anecdote. One of the nurses in Shari Tzedek plead with them, when you close the shul, leave the light, leave one light on in the shul. It's so sad to pass and see a darkened shul. And he happily did leave a light on in the shul. It's sad. We don't like closing shuls. But it's not tragic, because most of the people, at least in Israel, davened with minyanim. 1,000 minyanim just spontaneously sprung up in backyards and porches and open spaces. And in many places of the world, it's the same. So we close shuls, we'll open them again. Closing yeshivas is a different story. Closing yeshivas is a tragedy. It is a tragedy. Because every passing day in which our children are not in yeshivas is tragic. These are days it would be very difficult to make up for. This is a loss. So when a young Ben Toid is at a yeshiva for 6 months, it is tragic. For 3 months. And I'm not sure we could compensate for it. So that is just even more impetus and even more reason that we need to follow all the rules. And the more diligent we will be, the better chance we will have to come back to some level of normalcy, to come back to our shuls, to come back to our yeshivas, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu should be with us. So Hashem Alachov Ishmael Nafshech Umoid has two different interpretations. According to the Gemara and Brochus Named Beis, and the Rambam and the Shechan Aruch, this is the source of Shemitas Aguma Nefesh. This is the source that you need to stay away from danger. And you're not allowed to put your life or anyone other's life in jeopardy. But Pshuto Yishem Mikro is and Tishkach Esadvorem Asher Ro'o Einecho. We relive our past every day. We relive Yetzias Mitzrayim twice a day in Berachas Kriyas Shema. Chayav Odom Lahask Yetzias Mitzrayim B'chol Yoyim. Laman Tishkir Es Yoyim Tzeisfo Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemecha Yecho. Yes, we relive our past. Ishom alachop and tishkech esadvora masharo einecho. And pshuto shel mikro is our spirituality. Preserving our kirvus elokim, our closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remembering every moment of our lives. The glorious past, the magnificent miracles that were Menas Chelkem Shalav Esavi Seinu. We need to remember and relive those experiences every day, every moment of our lives. So my bracha to all of you and all the young and beautiful Bnei Torah and their families. me that we should all, the Korah Bimeinu, come back to a normal Seder. And all the boys should be able to come back to yeshivas, and all the yeshivas should magnificently open once again. We should all have nachas from our children. And they should all be safe, and we should be able to pass this bein hazmanim without tragedy, without loss of life. Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us. We should be adira. Thank you for the opportunity. And kol tov to all of you. Kol tov, and thank you once again. It was a pleasure. And
thank you.
Thank you very much.
All the best.
Toda. Thank you very, very, very much, Rav Gaon, Rav Osher Weiss, for the unbelievably sheer. Only today I was asked exactly this question. A man came to me that he wanted to go to in Ben Hazmanim, he wanted to go to a hotel. And there are people, usually is only at home. And he asked me, is it okay, or according to Nishmartem and Nafshoteichem, we shouldn't go? And exactly what the Rav spoke about, how much we have to take care, what is the level of sakana that a man can put himself. So, Be'emet, Toda Rabba, thank you very, very much for the inspiration, Shir, Toda Rabba.
Thank you, Rosh Hashiva, many opportunities.
Amen, Toda Rabba, Toda Rabba. We are praying that all the Talmidim will come, Bezrat Hashem, in Rosh Chodesh Elul, Toda Rabba. Big zchut to have the special shiur and so relevant shiur about how much to put yourself into sakana. I won't continue in my shiur because I want to be sure that there will be time to all the other five rabbanim of the yeshiva speaking about different aspects from the corona to take to life. I only will finish the psak of Ramoshe Feinstein, and with this immediately we will hear the other rabbanim. As I said before, the story was that the student of Moshe dealt with Chayei Sha'a. He didn't connect him yet to the machine, and he got a phone that Chayei Olam is in the emergency room. And Moshe told him, you should continue with the Chayei Sha'a. He came in the end of the day to Moshe's house, and he asked, why? You told us that Chayei Olam is before Chayei Sha'a. I won't go, there is a whole thing. I will say only in two sentences because the time is late. Ramosha told him two things. Ramosha told him, number one, you are a judge when the people are in the emergency room and you didn't start to deal with them. But in the second that you started to deal with the patient, you are not a judge anymore. You are his shaliach. You are his shaliach according to what is good for him. And Ramosha asked this doctor, what will happen if the Chayei Sha'a will hear that there is Chayei Olam? Does he have to leave the room? The answer is no, because my life is first. And he bought the machine. He bought the room. It's his now. And because you are now his shaliach, that's your purpose now. In the minute that you started to deal with someone, you came to be his shaliach. And therefore, you have to do what he should do. And because he shouldn't leave the room, because his life is first, even that he's only Chayei Sha'a, therefore, you shouldn't take him away from the room. I think it's a new understanding what the duty of the doctor is. In the minute that he starts to deal with someone, he comes to be his shaliach. And I'm finishing. There is a lot of continuation. Rav Osher Weiss disagree. He says, no, the machine doesn't belong to him. The machine belongs to the hospital. They can take it every minute. And they can take him from the room every minute because he didn't buy the room. But according to Ramosha, he bought the room in the minute that he went in. The doctor is not anymore a judge, and therefore the doctor has to do what is right for him. He shouldn't leave the room because his life is first. Therefore, Ramosha said, continue to deal with the Chayei Sha'a. There is a lot of continuation, but we don't have time. Time is late, and I want to be sure that there will be time to the all the five rabbanim that want to speak about what to take from the corona. Ronin would say that I feel that in yeshiva, especially now that we are planning so much the returning of the Israelis and the American boys, to be sure that they had a very successful year with all the hard conditions, I think that that's the feeling that we feel. I think that the feeling that we feel is that we are their shlichim. We have a tremendous, like Rav Kook wrote in the end of his letter, Eved Le'am Kadosh. We are Eved Le'am Kadosh. We have a shlichut. We have a mission to be sure that the next generation will inspire, and the next generation will shine Torah and will be connected to Torah and will give Torah to the other generation. And we see that as the biggest chut to fulfill our mission, to be shlichim, exactly like when Moshe said that a doctor is shaliach. We feel a tremendous chut to be shlichim and to be sure that no matter what the conditions will be, there will be isolation, there will be kapsulot, no matter. The boys will be connected to Torah, will get love of Torah, it will continue for their life, and Be'ezrat Hashem, yeshiva will continue to have tremendous siyata dishmaya. We are praying for that, Be'ezrat Hashem itbarach. There is a lot of continuation, but there is no time. We will find another time to continue the shiur. Bakasha, Rav Waksman. I want to take that opportunity to thank Rav Waksman, to thank the Rabbanim. We sat for hours and hours to plan the next man and the next year, and it was unbelievably to see the devotion of the Rabbanim. Thank you. Thank you for the Anhala in the States, Anhala in Eretz Israel. Thank you to everyone. Rav Waksman, Bakasha.
Rav Yamer, I'm going to pass the mic on to Rav Noam Kenigsberg. Bakasha, Rav Noam.
Yes, there have been so many inspiring things said this evening. Honestly, I don't know how much I can add after the moving and inspiring words of the Rosh Hashiva and Rav Asher Weiss. Maybe I'll just dedicate in 60 seconds the few words I would like to say to our Talmidim. When we began the Kayed Zman over Zoom, I'd like to share something that happened behind closed doors at a Rebbe's meeting at the beginning of our virtual Kayed Zman. There was a good 10 or 15 minutes at that Rebbe's meeting spent dealing with the question, what are we going to do if it peters out? What are we going to do if the weeks of Kayed Zman go by and the Zoom meetings start to, you know, this one has something else going on. And, you know, if the numbers begin to dwindle, how are we going to deal with that? And we left it as a tzarich iyun, hoping for the best. And I was so impressed with our Talmidim. And I've been teaching in the yeshiva for a number of years now, but I think the real gevura and the greatness of the Talmidei Shalvim really shine through this Kayed Zman. We're day in, day out. I think I speak for all the Rebbeim. We sense that Simaon, Saman Nafshi Lelokim, the thirst was great. And I think the Rebbeim were able to feed off of that, be inspired by that. And that's what kept us going. So a big yisher koach to all the Talmidim who stayed with us, whether on a daily basis or our bogrim, who kept returning for more and more events throughout the Kayed Zman. Chelchem le'oraisa, how appreciative we are for your dedication and your hasmada and limud haTorah and your love of the yeshiva. Chazak ve'ematz. Yisher koach,
Rav Noam. Arav Leibowitz. Arav Leibowitz is on?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much, Rav Waksman, and thank you very much to Rosh Yeshiva for organizing this really beautiful event, and to Mayor Rosenfeld for putting this together. And it's really so important for us to continue our connection during these troubling times and to have these opportunities to see each other, even virtually. Panim El Panim is really something that's very moving for all of us. I wanted to share a quick idea on this upcoming week's Parsha. We're told that Hashem Elokecha Tira Oso Sa'avod Uvo Sibdak Uvishmo Tishaveya. Torah tells us that there is a mitzvah of Oso Sa'avod. And this pasuk of Oso Sa'avod is quoted by many Rishonim as the makor for tefillah. Most people usually associate the pasuk of Do B'chol Levavchem, Ezu Avodah Shebelev, Harezu Tefillah, which the Rambam does quote. But the Rambam also quotes the Sefer HaMitzvos, this week's parsha, the pasuk of Oso Sa'avod. And amazingly, if you look in the Sefer HaMitzvos, many of the Moneh HaMitzvos count the mitzvos based on based on the parsha. Let's say the Sefer HaChinuch. So he goes based on the parsha, the mitzvah of each individual parsha. The Rambam famously does not do that. And the Rambam seemingly has an order unto himself. And this begs the question then, why did the Rambam put this mitzvah first? Why this mitzvah second? What's the structure of Sefer HaMitzvos? So Reb Sajagon, who lived 200 or 300 years before the Rambam, Reb Sajagon also put the mitzvos in his own order. Now, what did the Rambam choose as his first mitzvah? Because the first mitzvah is going to be very significant. It's the first mitzvah in the Torah, and you're not going according to the Parshios. You're making your own order. So the Rambam put the mitzvah in believing in God as the first mitzvah. Very understandable. Rav Sajagon put the mitzvah of tefillah as the first mitzvah in Torah. Oso Sa'avod, this week's parsha. So I want to make two very quick ha'aras about the mitzvah of tefillah and how the mitzvah of tefillah has taken on a whole new face during this time period of Corona. The first is the famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Many of us are aware that the Rambam counts as a mitzvah, dioraisa, to daven every single day. However, the Ramban takes the Rambam to task for this. He feels that davening every day is not necessarily a mitzvah dioraisa, it's a mitzvah dirabonon. However, the Ramban does state that in a time of eis tzara, so tefillah becomes a mitzvah dioraisa. So seemingly, even though many of us don't have an opportunity to daven in a minyan, interestingly, lacking minyan, we are at the same time that we're losing minyan, we're losing that extra mile of tefillah that we gain by davening in a minyan. For the Ramban, we're being drawn into the realm of tefillah dioraisa. It could have been that before Corona began, we weren't davening in our minyanim, we weren't doing the mitzvah dioraisa of tefillah. But now that it's an eis tzara, without the mile of minyan, but we've been drawn into the realm of tefillah dioraisa. And I'd like to share another quick ha'ara, which really takes tefillah into an opposite direction. Now, I don't think that these two perspectives are at odds with each other, but there is a famous debate in the Gemara between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, between the Tanoim in that generation regarding the nature of tefillas ma'ariv. Is ma'ariv a rishus? Or is Ma'ariv a Chova? And even though we assume that nowadays we have accepted upon ourselves Tefillah as a Chova, but there is a Shita that Tefillas Arvis Rishus. And the question is, why should all of a sudden Ma'ariv be a Rishus? Shachris is not a Rishus. Mincha is not a Rishus. So the traditional interpretation is that Tefillas Arvis, Ma'ariv, has a lesser status in Halacha. It's only perhaps or Rishus, according to some Tanoim. However, there is another way to look at Ma'ariv that doesn't necessarily make Ma'ariv a lower class tefillah, but actually raises Ma'ariv up from a certain perspective. And that is that tefillas Ma'ariv, which is davened at night, is on a certain level the most natural form of tefillah. To daven during the morning when you wake up and you're full of energy, to daven in the middle of the day when you're involved in your work, in your business, in your life, to take away time to contemplate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in your life, that requires a commandment because it's not the natural response necessarily when a person wakes up in the morning and they're full of excitement, full of ambition. But Tefillas Ma'ariv is the tefillah that we say at night. It's the tefillah that's associated with the uncertainty, with the fear of nighttime. Yaakov Avinu davened when he was going out into Chutz Laretz, into the unknown. And prayer at a time of uncertainty, prayer at a time of fear, is a very natural human response. A friend of mine once had to visit the Tel Aviv hospital of Tel HaShomer, and he was waiting outside in the waiting room. And he said he was amazed that there are the same number of Sefer Tehillims in the center of downtown Tel Aviv as there are in Yerushalayim and Shaarei Tzedek. When a person is in a fearful situation, when a person has uncertainty in their life, so tefillah doesn't need to be commanded. Tefillah is a natural response. Maybe al pidrush, tefillas arvis rishus, because mariv is so natural, it doesn't need a commandment. And here, in the time period that we find ourselves in, Corona, in a time period of COVID-19, the uncertainty, we don't know where things are headed, how and when we're going to emerge from this pandemic. Parnasa, health, all of these things are on the line. So tefillah, on the one hand, takes on the deoraisa status of Eis Tzara. And at the same time, tefillah takes on an arvis rishus-like element. It becomes totally natural to pray. One doesn't need to be commanded to pray. So amazingly, the period of Eis Tzara, the period of Corona, of COVID, so it draws us into the world of tefillah deoraisa for the Ramban. And at the same time, it drags tefillah into the realm of rishus, tefillah into the realm of something that doesn't need a commandment. Mirtz Hashem, we should be zocheh through this very, very important mitzvah. The first mitzvah in the Torah, according to Rav Sajagon, we should be zocheh through the power of tefillah to bring an end to this pandemic. And many people have spoken at this time of how being indoors has given an opportunity to spend more time on tefillah, to invest more in tefillah. So we have to realize that one of our greatest, besides all of the steps we need to take in protecting ourselves and all of the things that we've been speaking about so far this evening, as we invest more in tefillah, so Amir Tzashem, the Shomea Tefillah, will answer our prayers and bring a end to this pandemic, Amir Tzashem.
Amen. Amen. Yashar Koach, Harav Leibowitz, Harav Nussbacher.
Thank you so much, Rav Waxman. I certainly echo everybody else's warm thanks to the Rosh Yeshiva and to Rav Waxman, to all those who were responsible for this evening. A warm Yashar Koach. Thank you very much for the opportunity. It's great to be able to share words of Torah together. I think I may have been an innovator in the world of Shalvim in one area, maybe a couple of areas, but in one area, when I was still able to be at the yeshiva for Shavuos for many, many years, I was able, when I used to get an aliyah at the Vasikin Minyan, I would always ask the Gabbai to skip the Misha Berach. And I think I was the first person to do that. So in that spirit, I'll try to be brief. This past week's parasha focuses strongly on the idea of transmission of Torah, of Mesorah. We have the famous words of the Ramban on the Pasuk, Raki Shoma Lecha Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od Pen Tishkach Es HaDvarim, where the Ramban speaks so powerfully, Kshenatik Gam Kein HaDovar Levaneinu, transmitting the Torah to the next generation, Lo Nayit Sheker Levaneinu, how parents would never lie to children. The less famous, perhaps, are the words of the Meshech Chachma. It's very interesting, both in Devarim as well as in Shmos, when the Aseres HaDibros are introduced, there is the same, pardon me for using the word awkward, of course it's not awkward, awkward word. We read, V'lo alisem bahar, lemor. And the Mefarshim are all trying to figure out what the lemor is. Who's saying? What saying? We didn't go up on the mountain and say, Rashi deals with this, Ibn Ezra deals with this, Ramban deals with this. If we remember from Shmos and Perek Chav also, V'yedaber Elokim es kol advarim ha'ele, lemor. And Rashi notes, it's not a lemor like we have all over the Torah. By the Hashem Moshe lemor. And there also, Rashi tries to explain the lemor, the Sifsei Chachamim, the Chizkuni. Everyone is trying to explain what this lemor is. The Meshech Chachma has a beautiful insight that links both of those places. The Meshech Chachma points out, which is such a powerful fundamental idea in Yadus, that Torah is given in order to be transmitted. One receives Torah, lemor, in order to pass it on and give to others. Beautiful, beautiful words of the Meshech Chachma, which I won't quote, but just a phrase or two. Heimo manchile hakabola dor ledor. Everyone who receives Torah becomes a link in a chain to continue and to tell others and the next generation, etc. And he speaks about this so beautifully and powerfully. And it's such a beautiful pshat in that word that introduces the Aseres Hadibros both times, that seemingly superfluous, the word, lemor. So I wanted to give two quick insights regarding Mesiras HaTorah that I learned, were sharpened by me during this challenging, but at the same time, in an odd way, very fruitful tkufa. First of all, if I could just give a personal glimpse, I was reminded, Rav Leibowitz reminded me of a story, reminiscent of Akdama to a certain sefer about Shlomo's stories, I believe, if someone is familiar with that introduction. So, I've been giving shir at home over Zoom. And one of the days, one of my kids came as a representative from the kids and said, Abba, you always said you loved giving shir. And you always came home and you're always excited about shir, what happened in shir. We never really understood exactly what you meant. But now that you've been giving a shir at home, we really see what it means. You love giving shir. Excited, can start shir sometimes, harried, frazzled, am I ready, running into shir, you know, throwing things together. But by the time shir ends, on a high, literally on a high. And as much as we've heard many stories, beautiful stories of you, our Talmidim, inspiring your homes with the Talmud Torah that you've brought into your homes during this challenging time. And we've heard lots of stories like that, and kol hakavod to all of you. And it's a beautiful aspect of this, like, very, very bad time. On the other hand here, to a certain extent, I felt glad that my family finally got a taste of the utter exhilaration that I have from being Zoche to be one of the small rungs on the ladder of the Mosrei Torah to you. I remember when I was first, I don't know if Waxman knows this story, when I was considering whether or not to accept a job to be a Rebbe, I was pretty young. And I went through the motions of asking Rav Moshe Shapira, a famous, well-known Rav, whether or not I should accept the job. I was going to take the job no matter what. That's the truth. But I went through the motions. You know, I think I pretend, I didn't even fooled myself to think I was really asking. And I asked him if I should take, he said I should, and it's good for my learning, and it's good for this and that. And then he added a comment, which I never actually did. It's important they should also frequently give shir in your home. It's important for your family to see you giving shir as well. And Baruch Hashem, we've had opportunities to host the boys and to give shiurim, divrei Torah. But on a regular basis, shir iyun in the house, I don't think they ever saw. So this was one aspect of Mesiras HaTorah that I found very enlightening during this period. And if I could just say briefly a second aspect. The fact that a shir, and this is obvious, but it's been so sharpened during this time. The fact that a shir, giving over a shir b'iyun, is alive. It's not a lecture. It's not the transmission of information. And I apologize to those Rabbanim who are feeling like they've heard this before. And you know, I deserve that look that I got. So the fact that a shir is alive, the fact that a shir is as a living, breathing entity, being able to interact with people shir, even though people aren't necessarily speaking with words. Did everyone get the question? Who already is thinking three steps ahead and already has the answer? Reading the body language. Pardon me for saying so. Who's bored and wishes they were eating meat bombs in the chadar rather than listening to me finish, you know, the fourth sheet of the second possibility? It's beautiful. It's electric. I once heard from a Talmud of the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, that when the Rav asked a question in shir, and he didn't just throw out a question. He built up a question. That's why the Rav speaks for an hour and a half. We say over the Rav's board in a half hour, we wonder what happened. When the Rav built up a question, it was like a dark cloud came into the room, and everyone felt it. And that's part of the experience of Mesiras HaTorah. The energy in the room, the group dynamic. That's a shir. That's what giving shir iyun really is. It's something special. Not every shir iyun, pardon me for saying so, is really a shir iyun. a real shear of Mesiras HaTorah Be'in, and it applies, I'm sure, for many other aspects of Torah as well. I just happen to be utterly, utterly biased towards Shear Ian for obvious reasons. So that aspect is harder over Zoom. I'm trying. We try to overcome. The guys do a great job. And I try to be as good as possible, but it's still not the same. It just sharpens the idea of the uniqueness of Mesiras HaTorah, the direct contact, the direct relationship, the energy in the room, the dark cloud in the room, the utter relief in the room when everything's resolved. These are two aspects of Mesiras HaTorah, which just highlight the message we had from last week's Parsha, both from the Ramban as well as from the Meshech Chachma, about the unbelievable privilege and centrality of Mesiras HaTorah. And I thank everyone so much for listening and this opportunity to speak. Shekoch to all.
Yeshekoch, Yeshekoch, Rav Nussbacher. Rav Turetsky,
first of all, just to echo everyone else's remarks, it's a pleasure to be able to share Torah in this context. It's a pleasure to speak with such people. I want to highlight a particular perspective. It's one that I think many may identify with. I know, like many, I've been following pretty closely all of the halachic responsa, all the tshuvas that have come out surrounding coronavirus over the last several months. Rav Schechter, Rav Asher Weiss, and many others have been writing many, many tshuvas, analyzing and breaking down all the questions which come up. And I've often thought in the context of those tshuvas, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Naf Kuf Yadalad, Ezu Talmid Chacham. So who's considered to be a Talmid Chacham? It's somebody that you could ask them a question from anywhere and they'd be able to give an answer. In a certain sense, there's an amount of expertise in Torah which demands a sweeping or almost comprehensive understanding of the system. And to be able to look and to see, as Rav Yamer's shiur earlier, to be able to identify, this is really a sugya in Meseches Horios, and this is really a sugya in Meseches Tainus, and to be able to pull from all over the place is certainly an impressive statement. And one that I know for me and many others has been a source of great, I would even say, safety and comfort to know that as new questions come up, our timeless Mesorah can in many ways be timely. And that as new questions come up, we can see how so many of them we've dealt with and really know a lot about how to navigate as they go forward. There is an additional comment in the Gemara that I often think about, and hopefully many of us can appreciate in light of this time period also. The Gemara says that almost part of the definition of being a Talmid Chacham and one of the requirements of being a Talmid Chacham, aside from Torah knowledge and expertise, aside from the requisite scholarship, is to be a person, the Gemara tells us, a Talmid Chacham is not allowed to walk outside with a stain on his shirt. That a Talmid Chacham's clothing has to be clean. And part of the question is why? What's so important about him dressing a particular way? Or if you look at the Rambam and Hilchos Sanhedrin, qualities about the appearance of those dayanim that would be on the Sanhedrin, why does appearance matter that much? And I think, again, at least for me, what we'll speak about in a moment, I've been able to at least connect to this a lot in looking at some of the great Talmidei Chachamim of our generation and of our community. And that is that aside from Torah knowledge and Torah scholarship, the way a person presents themselves and the way that their words impact the audience around them is of paramount importance. It is superficial whether a person has a stain or doesn't have a stain, but it does, for better or for worse, impact the manner in which their words are received. That people who are able to look in a more dignified way, so the Torah they share becomes a more dignified Torah. And it becomes a Torah which people are able to appreciate, accept, and take in a certain sense an amount of pride in. Not just Ezu Talmid Chacham, someone that can answer questions from all over, but part of being a Talmid Chacham is making sure that the Torah we have is a Torah which radiates in a way in which those that are listening and those that are learning can hear that Torah, can take pride in that Torah, and can find the source of chizuk within it. I know that for so many over this time period reading some of the responses that have come out from so many of the great Rabbanim in our generation. A Sefer came out, I think, last week, even over 500 pages, I believe, all on Torah written in response to COVID-19, the coronavirus. I think for so many, an element of what has been powerful And it's obviously been an immensely challenging time as well. But one element that's been powerful and comforting is exposure to certain Talmidei Chachamim, the way that they carry themselves and the way that they've modeled for us a form of relevant Torah that is responsible, that is dignified, that is masterful, and that is inspiring. And certainly, as far as taking pride in those members of our community and our Torah, that it can be relevant to the most complex questions, as Rav Yamer spoke about, that it can be inspiring, and that it can be it can give us insight and a sense of direction that Rav Asher Weiss did in his great and unique and powerful way. I think it's been one element of this entire experience, which I know, at least for me, the fact that Torah is so noble, so dignified, and so powerful has been an enormous sense of chizuk and comfort throughout this time.
Yeshokach, Rav Turetsky, thank you very much. We're ready to wrap up. I'll just share a quick thought right now. We are in the weeks of Nechama. We started off with Shabbos Nechama, the 7 weeks of Nechama. And I think that this pandemic, this crisis that we've been going through has taught us many things, many beautiful ideas that have been mentioned this evening by, and again, we thank the Rosh Yeshiva, in addition to the beautiful ideas of Torah tonight, all of his, I've said it many times, and we had get-togethers over Zoom, and every time I continue, you know, it's really coming from the heart when I say I'm amazed by the nonstop work of Rav Yamer, where I it's cliche, but it's so true. I just don't know how he gets everything done in the 24 hours a day of his nonstop devotion to the yeshiva. And all of us, the rabbeim and the talmidim, have a tremendous hakaras hatov to the Rosh Yeshiva for his nonstop efforts for the yeshiva. It's really tremendously inspirational, and it gives us koach. Seeing the Rosh Yeshiva nonstop is a mechayeh for all of us, the rabbeim and the talmidim. When beautiful ideas that the rabbeim shared here tonight, and regarding the rabbeim, I will also share. It's one of the in a time of crisis, you form different kinds of relationships, and it's been very it's challenging and for all of us. And at the same time, when you have a relationship going through a difficult time, it's a strengthening of the relationship. And it's a great privilege for me and the day-to-day working with the incredible rabbeim in Shalvim, all of the rabbeim and the talmidim as well. It's a good opportunity now to express to the talmidim who are here, Misha Po and Misha Asher Enenu Po, some of the rabbeim tonight touched upon the incredible devotion of the talmidim, things that we saw in our talmidim. We had appreciation beforehand, but we saw them take things to a new level, and that was very inspirational as well. So, in this time period of crisis of the corona, we were all forced so many times to reframe, all of a sudden something that we thought, whether it was something that we thought was going to happen and didn't happen, something that we were planning on, and then we had to totally change our plans. We're in the middle of this, and we're constantly forced. When people, someone started a sentence questioning something and saying, well, do you think that for sure? And people around them right away jumped on him and said, what do you mean for sure? There isn't for sure. We don't know. We have to constantly reframe. And I think, coming back to Nechama, I think that's a lot of the message of Nechama and the power of Nechama and the ability of Nechama. We know that an Ovel, Dafka, can't get into Hesach Hadat. He can't remove himself or herself from the Avelut but rather through being focused on the avel is completely within their avelut, and at the same time going through a process of some kind of reframing. Somehow within that darkness, seeing somehow how it can bring towards an expression of light that wasn't there beforehand. And that's what we're all going through right now. The nechama is a nechama of a transition. Kinicham, as we have in the Haftorah coming up. Kinicham Hashem Tzion, nicham kol chorvotel. The chorvot are there, but now with a different perspective, we see how there are building blocks that we can build with despite what it looks like rubble. No, we can turn it into building blocks. It looks like an impossible situation right now. No, because we look how we can build instead of just being stuck in darkness. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll finish off with a bracha. We should all, from tonight and getting together and hearing Torah, words of Torah in the different, in the realms of halacha and lamdas and machshavit inside of thought and seeing faces and seeing, or even names on the screen of names behind those faces. It should give Bria a source of koach for all of us going forward to have that strength to be builders, to turn now in these weeks of nechama to go ahead and spread a positive message within Am Yisrael that so much needs the positivity of going forward. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we own the, it'll be another, it's a couple of months or a couple of weeks, a couple of months, whatever it is ahead of us. Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll be able to look back and really see how we grew from this crisis. It should Be'ezrat Hashem be a great nechama for us. Thank you again for everyone, for all your
Shkoyach Rabbi Waxman.